All right. I like that song. I told Dean we got to get the track for that one. Yeah, well. Then you're going to have to learn to play instruments, brother. You're multi-talented. I think Elmer plays the piano, doesn't she? Oh, okay. We'll have to bring her out of retirement there. Okay. All right. You can open up to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Chapter 31. God does not want us to be afraid. Especially with everything that is going on. Not only in the world, but in our own lives. We have issues that we're dealing with. God's not going to let you fail. Say that. Say, God's not going to let me fail. Mm-mm. He's not going to let you down. So to be afraid is to be filled with fear, anxiety, or apprehension, unsure, lacking confidence in God and His abilities. In Isaiah 33:6, it says, He is our sure foundation. He is our sure foundation. That's what we've been saying. Stand firm. Stand firm on Him and His Word. Because in Psalm 122, it says, He holds you firmly in place. He will not let you fall. He who keeps you will never take His eyes off of you. I thought that was pretty cool. Never takes His eyes off of you. He's holding you so strongly, you are not going to fall. You're not going to fail. You can't fail with God. There is no limit to His abilities and capabilities. When we place our total confidence in the Lord and His love for us, we will not be afraid. God loves us. He will always come through for us in our time of need. We need to learn to accept the reality of His love for us so that our fears will not control us. Fear is a controlling factor, is it not? Mm-hmm. So it's about His love. If God didn't love us so much, why did He send His only begotten Son to die for us? What's the scripture say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him shall, right, and he'll have everlasting life. Jesus also made a statement in John chapter 15, verse 13. He said, Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You know, Jesus calls you guys friends. Friends. Yeah, you're friends with Jesus. He laid down his life for his friends. See, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. If you're afraid of facing a person or a situation in your life, God's love can help you put all those fears to rest. Perfect love casts out fear. And Dean, thank you, because this is what I got from you yesterday. I got this from Dean yesterday. Fear. F, false, E, evidence, A, appearing, R, real. False evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. And perfect love casts out fear. All right, I did tell you to turn to Deuteronomy, did I not? Okay, I knew I'd get there sooner or later. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble in dread before them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. Do not be afraid or tremble in dread. That means you're not supposed to be shaking in your boots, folks. There's that perfect love. Cast out that fear. See, Moses is telling the Israelites as they are camped outside the Jordan River, they get ready to cross over and possess the land that they should have 40 years earlier. Why didn't they? Fear. They were afraid. They were focusing on what had been seen and what had been told to them. They didn't even see it. They just believed the word of somebody else. What were they talking about? The size of the people. Calling them giants. We're mere grasshoppers. Moses here, though, is addressing the second generation of Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy. You can turn back to chapter 1 in Deuteronomy there. But he's encouraging them to do what the first generation did not do. The first generation did not trust God. So if you're there in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we're going to look to verse 26 through 32. And this is where Moses is reminding them, okay? He said in verse 26, "Yet you were not willing to go up to take possession of the land, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You murmured and were ill-tempered, discontented in your tents, and said, 'Because the Lord hates us.'" That's far wrong. "He has brought us from the land of Egypt to hand us over to the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brothers, the spies, have made our hearts melt in fear and demoralized us by saying, 'The people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified all the way up to heaven. And besides, we saw the giant-like sons of Anakim there.'" Then Moses said, "Do not be shocked or fear them. Do not be shocked or fear them. The Lord your God who goes before you will fight for you himself, just as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried and protected you, just as a man carries his son." All I could see was them people at the amusement parks carrying their little kids all day long. "All along the way he carried them, which you traveled until you arrived at this place." Verse 32. "Yet in spite of this word, you did not trust, that is, confidently rely on and believe the Lord your God." They did not believe the word of the Lord. The first generation did not confidently trust God and didn't thank him for the provisions. Instead, they doubted God. They accursed him and they rebelled against his instructions. Now this demanded discipline, did it not? The first generation will not inherit the land because they had been faithless. Faithless. But while the Lord would not allow them to enter the land, he still did not abandon his people. He allowed these rebellious people to live out their lives in the wilderness, and he took care of their every need. Further, because of his great compassion, he graciously continued to instruct them in his ways and how they could prepare their sons and daughters to enter the land. The faithless first generation had not altered God's purpose or discouraged him from fulfilling his promises. The second generation, they did pay attention to the word of the Lord. When Moses spoke to this generation in Deuteronomy 31:6, after he reviewed everything with them, he said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble in dread before them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you." Praise you, Jesus. And they went and possessed the land. No matter what to them, okay, think about this. No matter what to them is, people, problems, troubles, difficulties, situations, circumstances, sickness, disease, them. No matter what to them is before us, we can face it with a confidence that we are not alone. We are not alone. When God tells you to do something, do it without hesitation. Hesitation gives us time to think about it. We start to look at ourselves for how to accomplish it. Do we not? God will not tell us to do something that he wasn't going to help us with. Right? Together. Together. You're not alone. And at that point, when God said, "Do you remember that song?" I said, "What song?" He says, "Happy Together." I said, "Happy Together?" He said, "That was done by the Turtles back in 1967. I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, read that. Me and you and me, no matter what I face, I confidently know the only one for me is you and you for me. So happy together. I can't see me loving nobody but you all of my days." Makes a little difference, doesn't it? That's who you're supposed to be loving all your days. Happy together. Happy together. He's there with you. Okay, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So we can say with confidence, okay? Now I want you to say this. The Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. Yeah, no fear. And let's say the rest of that. What can mere people do to me? Yeah, what can mere people do to me? See, peoples will be peoples. We call them thems. And you know the size doesn't matter with God as your helper. There was a boxer. His name was Joe Walcott. W-A-L-C-O-T-T. And he was the Barbonus demon is what they called him. But he was a religious guy, believe it or not. Okay. He was a welterweight champion of the world from 1901 to 1904. Now, his career spanned a little bit longer than that. But he's the one who coined the phrase, "The bigger they are, the harder they fall." He was a welterweight. I mean, he was a short guy. Weighed about 137 pounds. Didn't matter who he met in a ring. He fought him. He actually fought heavyweights. And you're talking 180, 200 pounders. A big difference. In the arms man, a lot of these guys fought, they had a 6-inch span longer than he did. You know what he said? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. You know how many KOs he had? It was like 100. He didn't care how big they were. But that brings us to the one of the ones in our Bible. Turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. We'll see another one who wasn't moved by size. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look to verses 31 through 49. This is David when he faced Goliath. He did not focus on the size of the giant. See, he had a total trust in God to deliver the giant into his hands. I can hear David telling King Saul as he went out that day, "Hey, King, the bigger they are, the harder they fall." So you're there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 31. We're going to start there. Now, this is after David went up to see what his brothers were doing in the battle, which there was no battle. There was like a stalemate there. They weren't doing anything. Well, his dad had sent him up there to bring provisions up there. He went up there. He saw what was going on. And he's down there and, you know, wanting to know what's going on. He ran right down to the battle lines. And then it says in verse 21, the things David was saying were picked up and reported to Saul. And Saul sent for him. This is the Message version, by the way. What was he saying? He was saying, who is this Philistine who is trash talking about our God? Let me in, I'll kick his butt. Verse 32, they take him up. And David said to Saul, don't give up hope. I'm ready to go out and fight this Philistine. See, Saul had been looking for someone to go out and face this giant. Back then, they figured, you face the giant, one of ours, and the one who wins, the other one submits to them. So you can imagine, there wasn't a man down there on that front line who wanted to step forward to go battle. Even the king stayed back. But David, he's doing some mighty talking down there on the lines. That's why Saul sent for him. So he's up there with the king. And Saul answered David. He says, listen, after he saw him, you can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young and inexperienced. And he's been at this fighting business since before you were born, son. Before you were born. But David said, very confidently, not arrogantly, not about David, but about the Lord who was with him and in him. David said, I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'll do the same to this Philistine pig who is trash-talking the troops of the living God. God, who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear, will deliver me from this Philistine. Saul said back. Saul said, go. God help you. Then Saul outfitted David as a soldier in armor. He put his bronze helmet on his head, belted his sword on him over the armor. David tried to walk, but he could hardly budge. David told Saul, I can't even move with this stuff on me. I'm not used to this. And he took it all off. I can see him stripping it, throwing over in his corner and getting his stuff back on. And then David took his shepherd's staff. And then as he went out, he selected himself 5 stones from the brook on his way down. And he put them in the pocket of his shepherd's pack. You know, I really wanted to know what that shepherd's pack looked like. And I said, okay, what is that? Was it a fanny pack thing? No. It's what you women wear nowadays with a little string type thing, but the fancy little, that was it. But his was just leather. You guys had the real fancy ones, you know. Teresa had a nice black one today. I don't know where she got that one at. Kohl's, that where you were at yesterday? Okay. Praise God, the economy's booming. Teresa's out and about. And you know, you think, because last week I mentioned something about Walmart. And I went home and I says, I'm going to prove to you something. I brought up my Huntington account, brought it up, and I says, look, while she was down, voom, am I right or wrong? Is that not what it said? Yeah, she did. I said, voom. I'm just telling you. Yeah. Amen. Well, and with his sling in his hand, he approached Goliath. As the Philistine paced back and forth, his shield bearer in front of him, he noticed David. He took one look down on him and sneered, a mere youngster, apple-cheeked and peach-fuzzed. Eddie, he didn't have a beard yet. No whiskers. He was a young whippersnapper. Like a lot of new ones that came in that you've had to mentor down there. Yeah. Without whiskers. The Philistine ridiculed David. Am I a dog that you come after me with a stick? And he cursed him by his gods. Come on, said the Philistine. I'll make roadkill out of you for the buzzards. I'll turn you into a tasty morsel for the field mice. David answered, you come at me with sword and spear and battle axe. I come at you in the name of God of the angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you have cursed and mocked. This very day, God is handing you over to me. No words of fear and doubt there. Mm-mm. I'm about to kill you. Cut off your head and serve you, your body, and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and the coyotes. The whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel. And everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spirit. The battle belongs to God. Say that. The battle belongs to God. He's handing you to us on a silver platter. That fired up the Philistine. He started toward David. David took off from the front line, running toward the Philistine. No fear. David reached into his pocket for a stone. And he slung it. And he hit the Philistine hard in the forehead, embedding the stone deeply. The Philistine crashed face down into the ground. And forensics showed and did a calculation of the odds of that going between that little opening in his helmet. And the odds were just unbelievable. With pinpoint accuracy. Pinpoint accuracy. They had forensics back then. Yeah, okay. And to finish the deal, he removed the giant's sword from its sheath and he cut off his head. See, they were able to take it in for examination. David's life that day took a giant head start toward him becoming king. God did not let David fail, and he will not let you fail. When you are focused on him, and trusting in him and his abilities, you will have no fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Greater is he that is in you than the thems in this world. God will not let you fail. It's not in his nature. Not part of his character. Hebrews 13 Verse 5, I know, Dean, Can't do it without being any classified. You got it, brother. God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Are we ready? I will not. I will not. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Praise God. Wow. Man, I jump on that scripture. When you are faced with the thems, no matter what, do not be afraid of the thems. Greater is he that is in you than the thems in this world. Do not be afraid of the thems. The Lord your God goes before you himself to fight for you. You hear that word? Yeah, what he comes up with, he said, yet in spite of this word, do you still not trust, that is, confidently rely on and believe the Lord our God? Selah for a moment, huh? Why is it when we hear the word of God on a subject or a certain situation we're dealing with, we don't confidently rely on and simply believe the word? The word, the word, the word. It works. Are you working the word in your life? Whatever you're facing, the word, the word, the word. Don't speak your thoughts. Speak the word, the word, the word. Your thoughts will deceive you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 7 through 9. Just think, you don't need a thing. You've got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you as you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. You ever been to a fireworks and seen the finale? Whoo, you ain't seen nothing till you see his finale. And not only that, but God himself is right alongside to keep you steady and on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son, our Master, Jesus. I like this last one here. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. I should have had my mask on. There was spit come out that time. That's not good. Hey, I still got mine. And I wear it when I'm supposed to and when I need to. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Confidently expect God will make good on his promises he has made. God's wonderful promises are obtained through faith and patience. Being willing and obedient to do what God tells you to do is also important. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat or have the best of the land, the promised land. Turn to Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21. The second generation that Moses spoke to entering the promised land, as I said, they listened. And they moved forward. and they possessed. And how does one possess? Being an overcomer. They conquered. They conquered the thems that they faced without fear, because the Lord was with them. He said, don't be afraid. I'll never leave you. I'll never abandon you. I've got a hold on you. And He's not letting go. You cannot fail. You cannot fail with God. Okay, you're there in Joshua 21. Joshua 21. Now, I'm going to be reading verses 43 through 45. The Lord gave Israel all the land He had promised to give to their fathers. They took it for their own and lived in it. The Lord gave them peace on every side, just as He had promised their fathers. Not one of all of those who hated them could stand in front of them. The Lord gave all those who hated them into their hand. Verse 45. Not one of all of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. You cannot fail with God. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble in dread before the thems. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. Amen.